Hello and welcome to the First and Ten podcast. This is our last draft podcast of the year. I mean, Ash, you're joining me. Sad time, isn't it, really? Come to the end of these.
It's been a long one. It's been a bit of a long one, but it's been all fun and games. I think it's really nice to see all this. This has been a good draft as well, a really good class. So yeah, getting to the tail end of it, but there's nothing to turn your nose up about. There's still some guys in day three that will turn out to be good starters for sure.
Yeah, I think this day three sort of, there's four rounds, round four to seven, but I don't think it necessarily had like the top end. I'm not saying Williams isn't great and, some receivers aren't good and there's some good defensive players and all that, but I think it's the depth this year, isn't it? Some of the positions like wide receiver, corner, some of these other positions have got a lot of good players, even if they're not, well, in fairness, wide receiver got the top end talent as well. But, there's a lot of positions with a lot of players still available going into day three, wasn't there? That, could make a difference on a team.
Yeah, definitely. There's role players and then there's developmental players, really. Is we project this guy to be this for us, even though we need to do a lot of work on this, and this. We can see the sort of progression and see where it's going to end up. And then also, if there's niche roles, like you said, you've got your punters and kickers, long snappers, things like that. But then also, like slots and nickels and nose tackles and things like that. That's where these sort of guys come off the board and they earn their money.
Yeah, definitely. And we're going to look at this with a bit of a fantasy spin today. We're going to look at sort of the round in general, but on these last few rounds, there's still some players out there that you can find in your rookie drafts that you were drafting in the third, the fourth round. We've had a few over the years. I mean, Dameon Pierce, James Robinson, their names that sort of stand out to me that, you were getting for sort of fourth rounders in your rookie draft who end up being starters for you for at least a couple of years. And that could win you leagues, can't it? Like a James Robinson just out of nowhere that you're getting for basically free, players like that. And there is some of those players that could potentially be out there in this group.
Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth round pick, wasn't he? A
Yeah,
few
there
years
you go.
ago.
Yeah, so there's a lot of players sort of in your fantasy leagues, and then obviously in real life as well that could make a difference at this stage. And I mean, we're gonna look at the fantasy players. I'm gonna start off. Is it who, if you had to pick one player out of this fourth round that could make a difference on your fantasy team this year, who's it going to be?
I mean, I think that it's sort of sticks out like a sore thumb about Troy Franklin, really.
Yeah.
Where they got him at 102, what he can do, what he possesses in sort of speed. I think that Denver Broncos had a home run pick there, top of round four. So yeah, that would be the guy. I mean, some people had him like early on in the draft process, wide receiver four, wide receiver fives, and obviously slipping all the way down there to 102. So yeah, I mean, I think there was a few things that went against him. I think sort of like everyone talks about the gauntlet drill as something that he didn't trust his hands. He doesn't trust his hands, but if you watch his tape, it's good. A lot of sort of you can see a lot of vertical speed and things like that with him. So I think that there's a projection again where you can see what he can be and how we can go forward in this offense. So and now like they traded Jerry Jeudy and you've got guys coming off of injuries. So it's not sort of out of the realms of possibility that you could say this guy could be the wide receiver too, just going forward, and he could sneak into being this. Would they someone lean on him like Bo Nix? Because obviously Bo Nix played with him at Oregon,
College
so
teammates, always a good sign,
it's
isn't it, for them?
so convenient for that to happen. So it's one of them ones where you can really see it going forward as. I could really see Nick's leaning maybe on someone that he's used to be leaning on for the last 3 years at college before he would be leaning on someone like Courtland Sutton. So Troy Franklin for me is one of them ones where if you can get him the end of round two, I mean you'd be absolutely rubbing your hands, I think.
I think you see it with even like when a backup comes in. There'll always be this random wide receiver that they've actually practiced with a lot on, like the second string or whatever that,
Yeah,
they've got a
100%.
lot of reps with that all of a sudden becomes relevant. And I think Franklin could definitely be that person, couldn't he? But I do worry that we've, like, over the years, we've seen a few of these players that potentially first round, as a lot of people think, and maybe the fantasy community likes a bit more than, the actual NFL. Not many of them worked out too well, these players that have sort of dropped through the rounds, have they? That, more often than not, the NFL's got it right, and the people out there have got it wrong. But yeah, it definitely feels like a good spot, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it was for me, to be
Okay.
honest, Franklin going there is probably the best landing spot for him, because you've got a clear pathway to be that wide receiver two, and you've got that connection with Bo Nix. Like, that cannot be underestimated, how important that as a sort of wide receiver quarterback sort of scenario can be for him. So yeah, I think that's really worked out well.
Yeah, and yeah, definitely a route to play, which is sort of all you can really hope for in these sort of later round rookies, isn't it? I think a couple more wide receivers come off the board not too long after. I think going into this day, there was probably three wide receivers to me that sort of stood out, and they were the first three off the board. And you got Jerome Baker, who goes to the Patriots, and then DeVonta Walker goes to the Ravens. And again, both of them feel like there's a chance they could see the field this year. You know, like neither of those sort of spots that they're competing with. Sort of players with issues, aren't they? I think.
100%. Javon Baker will play predominantly the outside role for New England. Polk will play that sort of flanker slot position. So Baker, like, he's come over from big schools, and obviously now he's gone to USC. So there is a pathway, like you said, for him to be able to be that wide receiver two in New England. So it's kind of him. Maybe his competition is Thornton. It's kind of probably where they're at with that. And then obviously the same in Baltimore, where you've got Walker there. His competition's called sort of like Bateman and Aguilar. So I think that sort of outside guy is probably where he's probably looking at as well. So yeah, both interesting landing spots for sure. Like, we had New England and the Ravens pegged to take wide receivers in the draft. Obviously, New England got their second one there, and obviously Ravens they've got waited all the way until 113 to take theirs. But there's still, like I said, still great scenarios where that both of these can make an impact in sort of wide receiver threes and flex plays.
Yeah, sure. I think, I mean, round four saw the running backs came off the board, didn't they? We saw a lot of them come off the board in round four, but it continued a trend for me of running backs just landing at rubbish spots that it's going to be really hard for a lot of these to see the field quickly. I mean, Jalen Wright goes to the Dolphins, Bucky Irving goes to the Bucks, Shipley goes to the Eagles, Davis the Bills, maybe there's a bit of a route there, you know. But I mean, Garendo goes to the 49ers, the Lions, the Jets. Like, these are not places that it's going to be easy for these running backs to find work early, is it? And at least make themselves fantasy relevant. Is there any of them that you can see? You know, obviously, injuries mean someone could quickly be thrust into, you know, running back one. We see random players get carries, but, you know, barring injuries, are any of these you can really see? Sort of breaking through and taking over from a veteran.
I can't see, like, I think that was one of the worst landing spots for Shipley to go, to be fair. Like, that sort of, I think that's not great for him. Garendo is, like, he's got all the tools, but could he just be another one? Like, 49ers, although we say 49ers have got a great track record of being able to produce these guys and bringing them through, like your Mostats and your Masons and all that lot, but they're there for like a season and they're gone. Like, another one comes in, another one, like Terrion Davis was the other one. And it just seems to be an endless churn of running back twos that they do, and they obviously traded for CMC, but it's they've just kind of been that sort of team where they just churn out these one season sort of backup guys that sort of like you might be able to use him for a couple of weeks if there's an injury, and then all of a sudden the following year they draft another guy and he's the new guy in town. So it's a bit of a rubbish land spot for him. Ray Davis, I think, like you said, I think you touched on, is the one where you can look at it and say it's him and Latavius Murray. Sort of that, what is that going to be, that his sort of role? Because obviously James Cook got his role. Is Ray Davis going to be used as that sort of thumper towards the goal line? I think that's probably where he will be used. But Jalen Wright again is another one where it just that landing spot was just a killer. I mean, they definitely have a type, Miami, hundred percent. They've got a type, so you can't argue with the player going there. It's just, like you said, it's a bit crowded. So yeah, there's not an amazing, and then Braylon Allen. I mean, you're just
It's
absolutely
awful.
stonewalled on. You're like, it's no point in him. Like, I don't know how he's going to see the field after what Breece Hall put out the last couple of seasons. So yeah, it's one of them ones where you look at the running backs situations. Maybe Bucky Irving is probably maybe second to Ray Davis in regards to could he see the field, if because he's kind of like White in some regards, with the he hasn't got breakaway speed, but he's got a little bit of elusiveness. He's good at catching the ball, so you can see what Tampa are trying to look at. But in regards to, say, if you had him higher, say a running back four or running back five in your rankings, there's not really a clear path to say he's going to be on the field anytime soon after what White put out last year. So again, it's not looked great for running backs this year.
Yeah, it's rough out there if you need a running back, that's for sure. I mean, I think that I mean the free agency with running backs, I think maybe was a sign that this was going to happen, wasn't it? Because I mean, so running backs got paid this year that they haven't for a few years now, and you know, maybe that was a sign that the NFL was just down on these running backs as a whole. I mean,
Definitely.
tight end a few went off the board. I mean, we've seen Iowa tight ends do okay in the NFL, haven't we? But you know, are we going to see another one here for the Bengals? You know,
I think it's a nice,
it's a nice spot, isn't it? Like,
I mean, like I said, I think that Eric Hall, if he didn't have the injuries, I think he would have got a lot higher, but he's just had so many grueling injuries. I think he said like
yeah.
two season-ending injuries over the past 4 seasons. So they've been really brutal. So I think he's done both ACL. So it's one of them ones where you look at it and say, like, is his body going to hold up for the brutalness of the NFL? But if he can stay on the field, if he can get healthy, like that would be one of the ones where if you look at it taking a flyer, say round four or round five or something like that, like in your rookie drafts, and you're thinking I'm a bit lower tight end, I haven't got a lot of depth. It might be one to just, I don't know, throw in your taxi and see what happens. But that's one of the ones I look at tight ends, like, because I was quite high on him coming out. It's just them injuries for him, really.
Yeah, and say there's a lot worse you can do than take a flyer on a Iowa tight end, that's for sure. I mean, any other tight ends that come off the
100%.
board, sort of catch your eye at all? So I think a lot of people were hearts up fairly high on Theo Johnson, weren't they? And he took it to good lands what the Giants, especially if Darren Waller does retire, as you know, I don't know what the hell's going on with him. It seems to be like maybe he's retiring, maybe he's not. I don't really know, but
I don't know what, like you said, you don't really know what's going on at the moment with him. I think Bellinger's kind of, he put in enough that you could look at it and say he's probably got first dibs, Bellinger. But Theo Johnson's got a bit about him athletically. But again, like, this isn't the greatest of tight end classes. So you look at it and you say there could be a potential role. Like, I was never really a big Sanders guy coming out of Texas. A few analysts had him a lot higher than where Carolina got him, but for me, he just wasn't it. I just don't think he's really it. So maybe, like I said, all Barner at Seattle, I think he's just kind of like another Kobe Parkinson, that sort of aspect of play. I don't think he's going to be anything massive there. And Cade Stover, I like the profile, I like the prospect. Obviously, they've just paid Schultz, so it's like, if maybe Schultz was on a 2-year deal, this was the last year of that deal, something like that, you'd say, oh, maybe there's a pathway for him to start. But I think they just paid Schultz this offseason, so it looks like it's going to be a long haul for some of these tight ends to even see the field.
yeah, definitely is. So we do see some random tight ends break out year after year, and but predicting that is so hard, isn't it? And you know, sometimes it's just being on the field can make you a valuable sort of fantasy tight end, can't it? Especially in, I think with the rise of sort of tight end premium, I think we see a lot more of that in recent years, haven't we, than ever before. So you know, if you can get one of these guys in a tight end premium league, then they can really make a difference. But yeah, finding that one is going to be tough. But you say
It's
there's a few
difficult,
out there that,
especially.
but few out there that are worth a flyer, isn't there?
Yeah, for sure.
Before we move on to round five, is there any of, sort of the other players we haven't mentioned, you know, the sort of the non-fantasy positions that sort of stood out as a particularly good pick for you here?
Yeah, I think Taylor Dameson out of Texas Tech, I think he's going to be really good for Arizona. That sort of, apparently his IQ's off the charts, real leader. So expect good things hopefully coming out of him at Arizona. I was a big Brandon Dorlus guy out of Oregon. Think he's going to be a really good sort of three technique for the Falcons. Really like that one. Kyree Jackson out of Oregon again. Minnesota at 108. Really like that one. Javion Foster was my dark horse sleeper tackle. If anyone listened to the tackle podcast that we did, I think that he's had his few years at Missouri done very well. So you could have one of them swing tackles there for Jacksonville and in the fourth round. I think that's really, really good. And again, Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, pretty much nailed it with Mason McCormack. South Dakota plays a lot of played a lot of center, played a lot of guard at South Dakota State. Again, really knows ball, knows so he should be probably slotting in again on that O line. He's talking about four guys at least there that have got They're like real stealer picks, do you know what I mean, on that O-line. So they would probably be the guys. I mean, value, you'd probably say TJ Tamper at Baltimore as well. Like, people were pegged. I mean, Mel Kiper was massive on him, had him in the first round, I think, in some of his mocks. You
Yeah,
get him
pretty much.
130. So a little bit handsy, might give away a few penalties, but you can't argue with the raw traits, and the talent that he possesses. So as a value pick, you could argue that Baltimore picking TJ Tamper at 130 would be one of the standouts.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. Right, we'll move on to round five. We're flicking through here, so we're doing it mainly going to look at the sort of the fantasy aspect of things. There's not too many players jumping out that are going to be fantasy relevant. Like just looking at rookie drafts this week, there's not too many players that are going off the board, but we did see quarterbacks start to come off the board again. And while Spencer Rattler doesn't interest me, am I mad to think that Jordan Travis could is worth a stash, you know, like with your fifth round pick that, you know, you got Aaron Rodgers who, what's he playing? A couple of years more, maybe. I like Travis coming out, you know, not necessarily, I don't think he's amazing, but I think that he does some good stuff and, you know, there's a route there that he plays some football this year, I think. And, you know, in terms of late picks, am I mad to think Jordan Travis is worth a stash with like my fifth rounder in a rookie draft?
100%. I took him at 412 in our rookie draft. So I personally think, especially with the leagues that we play, like Superflex leagues, like, you know, you might have to wait for it. But I still think that it's a shrewd pick. Like you said, that late on, once 171, with what he did at Florida State this year, really did push this team towards. In some people's eyes, they could have been in that final four at the national championships. They were edged
I think they
out
would
on.
have, wouldn't they, without the injuries? I think they would have been
Yeah, I
in there.
mean, I think that probably, like you said, if he didn't get injured, they probably would have put him in. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. But yeah, I took him at 412, and I felt really good about it, really. And as one of them, you know, you're not going to get these, you know, you're not going to get these key starters. This is what rounds four and five of the real NFL is, and the rounds four and five of your dynasty rookies are their projections and depth plays, and see if you can use them, and hopefully that they find a place and they kick on and become a starter. But you've got these guys just to see what happens in the next 2 or 3 years, really.
Yeah, and so I think it was someone I was really interested in where he landed, and I think the Jets is just a really
Really good one,
nice
yeah.
spot for so he's
Yeah.
got no pressure to play probably any time, you know,
Yeah.
right away, but there is a chance there. They've got no real I can't think of who the backup is ahead of Travis now. It's not someone great, is it?
Tyrod
I don't
Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor, yeah, like fine, but you know, we've seen what he is over the years. Like he's not someone who if Travis can develop at all, then he's going to beat out Taylor, isn't he? I think if
Yeah.
you know it comes down to that in a couple of years, yeah, definitely an interesting spot for me.
Yeah.
Any of the other positions sort of stand out for you, the wide receivers or the running backs or even tight ends? I don't know. There was a tight end in this round, was it?
Anaya Smith's an interesting one. So he's kind of like a weird hybrid of a sort of wide receiver running back. So there's a player to keep an eye on, kind of in that sort of Leggett, Coralie, that sort of, they are, he's kind of that sort of player, that Philadelphia might use. And obviously, if you're talking about a team that knows how to use their guys, I think that's a good landing spot for him. I think Baltimore know how to use running backs. I think Ali from Maryland, from Marshall, I think that's a nice pick for Baltimore that late on. I think that they'll sort of use him in kind of them, that sort of another like Justice Hill sort of player. So that there's maybe them two guys to keep an eye on. Probably the player that's probably more of the standout guy in this round in regards to most people would heard the name, know about him, is Audric Estime. The running back, I know Dame. So depend, like, he's kind of fallen behind Jatavia Williams, Javonta Williams, which obviously a load of people liked coming out of North Carolina. So it's hard for him to see how he's going to get on the field straight away in some regard. But you could see him being that, it could be like that 1-2 tandem. Obviously, we saw Sean Payton use these guys before in that sort of 1-2 range. So see, we said Kamara and Ingram and that and Sproles and stuff before. So I know they're more similar guys like Williams and Esther, maybe you might have more of a tandem there going forwards. So some it's definitely a name to keep an eye out. I think just the fumbling issues is something that you might need to clear up. But yeah, it's definitely a name to keep an eye out though for sure.
Yeah, in a class full of awful added spots, I don't think the Broncos was the worst in the
No.
world. It's
No.
you know, you can see how he's gonna could get some carries, couldn't you, there? It's
Yeah.
yeah.
I think if you went one pick later, I think it would have been more of an interesting pick because I think then you would have talked about maybe him going, there's White there, there's Mattison there, and then there would have been him if he went one pick later to the Vegas
Yeah.
Raiders. So that would have been maybe a little bit more interesting to see him come off there. But yeah, I mean Williams is just he's just a really good back. It's just if he obviously he can stay fit.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Any of the non-fantasy positions stand out to you? So you get to this stage and it is a lot of players that, there's some players that come off the board that, I'll be honest, I don't even know. Like you
Yeah.
get to that
Oh
stage
yeah,
in the
same.
draft
Yeah,
where I've
same.
looked at plenty of players this off-season,
Yeah.
but there's still so many players that come off at this stage that I think, no,
Yeah.
not sit, don't know him at all. So is
Don't
there
know,
anyone that
yeah.
sort of stands out for you as a particularly good pickup?
The guys I know that I've done like a little bit on, Cam Hart, which is the Chargers pick. He's the big tall corner out of Notre Dame. He's a guy that's got potential to start straight away outside. Van Pran for Buffalo, great pick coming out of Georgia. He should go pretty much straight in and compete in that center spot. Obviously they used to have, I don't know if Mitch Morse isn't there anymore, I don't think so, that he could even go straight in and play straight from day one. So that's a great pick for me if that's the case. I really like Mo Camara from the Dolphins. Like I personally think this is probably my bold shout of it. I think Mo Kamara gets more sacks than Chop Robinson this year. So I think Mo Kamara is the better player than Chop Robinson. They took Chop Robinson at 21. You got Mo Kamara out of Colorado State. It was on my sleepers. They picked him up at 158. And I stick my neck out here. Mo Kamara get more sacks than Chop Robinson this year. That would probably be the other guy that I would say that I'm pretty big on him in round five, and I quite like it pains me to say, but Hunter Nauzad, the Kansas City Chiefs stud from Penn State, I think he'll be he's got potential to be starting center for them in the future.
Nice. Right, I think we're gonna do round six and seven as a whole, aren't we? Because yeah, it gets if the back end of round five was tough, then you get to round six and seven, and
Yeah.
there's schools I've basically never watched play pretty much. There's some schools in here that yeah, I've not watched. I'm not even gonna pretend to know about some of these guys. But is there anyone that stands out to you? I mean, one that stands out to me is a Charger, Shimani Vidal. I mean, it feels like there's a chance, that I think people expected maybe a back to come off before this, but it feels like somebody could see the field at some stage this season to me.
Yeah, 100%. Like he's got like his combine numbers were great. Rascal was really good. He was put up serious yardage at Troy this year. And if I'm honest, like now the whole draft's over and you see what the running backs where they fall and etc. in the running back rooms, the Chargers went out but got Gus Edwards and they got J.K. Dobbins. Obviously, two guys that that front office are going to know very well. And then they've literally just gone out, and Kamani Vidal is literally Justice Hill. He is literally the same guy. So it feels like the Baltimore Ravens backfield is now just moved West Coast. Like it is literally that they've got the complete set. So he's just the perfect outlier to complete that sort of running back room. So yeah, I think that's a really a good pick for the Chargers there at 181.
Well, we've seen how it worked out for them running backs in Baltimore. That they're sort of some one of them was always injured, weren't they? I don't think it's been too many times when they've all been fit. So yeah, definitely a route to play there. Are there any other players in sort of round six or seven that stand out to you as sort of fantasy relevant or potentially fantasy relevant? Someone you want to take a flyer on at all?
Malik Washington, the Dolphins took him from Virginia. It's a name to sort of look, keep an eye on. I know the underdog guys were pretty. I think it's Hayden Winks and Josh Norris. They were really high on Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. So, and Philadelphia took him at 185. So keep an eye on him as regards to sort of like a big body guy. So that wide receiver, so maybe a name to keep an eye on. Other than that, round six, you're talking probably not many more guys. Jordan Whittingham, I think he's going to have a good, I think he'll have a role at the Los Angeles Rams. That's their kind of player. He does a lot of the horrible work. So, I mean, if you think about what the Los Angeles Raiders love in regards to wide receivers, they love that dogged sort of player, like with your Cooper Kupps and your Puka Nacua. I think Jordan Whittingham is kind of in that role as well. So look for him to maybe kick on. But other than that, in round six, that's probably your fantasy guys, probably in a nutshell, really, with where players went off and sort of the positions there. I quite like Tanner McGlocklin, actually, out of Arizona, who's a tight end, Cincinnati. That's another sort of fantasy guy to keep an eye on. If you want to stash a tight end, it's not a bad landing spot for him. But obviously with Eric all there, it's like that Andrews and Hayden Hurst scenario. Which one are you going to take, and which one might progress as the outlier?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, round seven, there's not too much to talk about in round seven. I mean, Brendan Rice, obviously. Jerry Rice said he's going to get some attention, but I mean, probably went a bit later than some expected. But, is he going to see much? Who knows? But I mean, the Chargers at wide receiver, there's a chance he could, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anyone knows the story of when Brendan Rice got the phone call. So
Yeah.
he was at a funeral, or going to one of his mates' funeral, and they got the phone call. He got the phone call saying that the Chargers were going to pick him. It was really actually quite a good little clip if you get to watch it on Twitter, or if you find it on YouTube and stuff. So he looks like he's got a really good personality in regards to, he looks like he's got good work ethic and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm rooting for the guys. Definitely some one of them guys you really want to root for. And I think that could be, obviously, if he turns out to be half as good as his dad, then I think they've done all right at pick, what is it, 225. So yeah, that's I am obviously Chargers fan, so you root the guy anyway. But yeah, with that video and sort of the aspect you've seen with him through like interviews and stuff, it does look like he's going to be a real key figure in that sort of this off season coming up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there was a name who went off at the start of the seventh rounder. You're probably going to see on Sky Sports about 500 times this year. Travis Clayton, off the international, what's it, the international like, player pathway, whatever it's called. I can't even what it's called now. But I mean, prepare to see him. He's not going to be fantasy relevant. He probably won't play. But prepare to see him on Sky Sports with Neil Reynolds and all of them guys like about a
They'll
billion
do some
times.
sort of interview with him for sure. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, a huge, huge man, isn't he? But God knows if he'll do any good. But I mean, hopefully he does. But or is there any other players in this last couple of rounds that you sort of stand out as a potentially sort of important pick? I mean, we don't see too many of these sixth and seventh rounders, go crazy in the league, and a lot of them might not even make rosters. But I mean, is there anyone that you sort of particularly liked pre-draft that you sort of surprised fell to this sort of range?
Pretty hard in round
Yeah.
seven. There's not
Yeah,
that
there's
many
not
guys
many.
that I sort of scouted as such.
Yeah, it gets rough, doesn't
I
it?
would, to be fair, the Miami were weird because obviously they took two, both the Washington guys. They put the took the guy out of Virginia and the guy out of USC. If you watch the guy out of USC, there's some of the numbers he put up last year were insane. So it wouldn't shock me if he gets on the roster and sort of becomes like maybe like the wide receiver four or something on that team. But a lot of these guys, like some of the tackles and tight ends and guards and stuff, like I didn't do much research on some of these guys, so I won't even pretend to know anything too much
Yeah.
about these round seven guys. But I've done a little bit obviously on the Chargers picks, but to be fair, I think they knocked it out of the park with the two guys they got in round seven, so very happy with that. So yeah, there's not many guys. I think round six had a few, but round seven is really where you've got your projection guys. It kind of summed it up when you've got the first guy of coming out. Round seven was the guy from Basingstoke. So, so yeah, you're looking at something like that where most of these guys that went after him, so they're real sort of projections going forward in the NFL.
Yeah, and like, don't get me wrong, I watch a lot of these players. I watch a lot of college football, but I don't know a lot about, these random cornerbacks at, small school and stuff. I'm not even going to pretend that I do, but yeah. So I'm sure there'll be someone in this group in this round seven that will do something in the NFL, but yeah, who they are, I'm not going to pretend I know. But say so, we've done a lot of coverage during this draft sort of process. And I mean, the fantasy Sorry, the position breakdowns that we did, they're still relevant now. If you want to go back and listen to, we spoke about so many players. I think the wide receiver one alone, we did about 25 plus. I think it might have even been 30 in the end. We did so many players on that one alone, probably getting on for 10 quarterbacks maybe in the end, just those running backs, loads of running backs, those are the other positions. So, if you're not sure about who your team's drafted, go and have a listen to those because we probably spoke about them, especially if they're in the first couple of rounds, because we spoke about most of them players that came off the board, I think. So yeah, definitely go back and give those a listen because you better find out quite quickly sort of what we think of those players and
Bit more detail and stuff on them as well, and then like you said, you'll get there's so many things out at the moment where you've got draft grades on each team you can find on YouTube of other from like NFL Network and stuff like that. So if you're obviously fans of each individual team, you can find out a little bit more about the guys you took in round 5, 6, and 7. Where like you said, people like Dan Brugger and stuff that put out the beast this year, like 400 draft people
That's
he's got
mad,
in
isn't it?
detail, and even the guys from the touchdown, obviously over in the UK that we know a little bit, and I'll put a mock on their stuff. The amount, the stuff that work that they do on some of their draft guide, I think they cover about 150, 200 prospects on there. So it's really worth like reaching out to some of these people and reaching out to some of the podcasts and stuff, and doing a little bit of research if you need to know about some of the prospects lower down. But there will definitely be a couple of starters for sure in some of these picks in round 4, 5, 6, and 7, and hopefully it's for your teams.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Where can people find more from you?
I'm on Twitter or X, as they say, and my handle is at Tilza999.
Lovely. And you can follow us at first and 10 underscore. You can follow us on Facebook, follow us on, I think we're on Instagram. I'm going to try and actually use that a bit more this year. We're going to do a bit more of everything. So make sure you're subscribed to get all the latest from us. I said in the last episode, we're going to be a lot more through this off season than we have in the past because, I think we all like doing it. It's just sometimes just being a bit more organized with it because, sometimes the off season can be a bit rough to find stuff to talk about. But, I've got some ideas and stuff. So hopefully it'll be fun and, we're
Watch
going
this
to try some
space.
different things out. Yeah, we're going to try
Yeah.
some different things and see what lands with you and all of that sort of stuff. Make sure you subscribe to get all the latest from us. We'll have. Ollie and Ross and Miles and hopefully Josh back in the summer and through to next season and we can bring some good stuff to you anyway. So make sure you follow us on all the social things. We're gonna have loads of fantasy leagues this year. Got a couple of ideas for different things that we're gonna do. So there's one up there now. You can go and sign up. It's a massive guillotine or eliminator league. If you haven't played them before, they're great fun. Basically, just don't finish last each week and then you're good. But if you do, you're out. But they're really fun. But go and sign up for that. They're all free to play. All we do it for charity, but it's all an optional donation. I think that's it. You got anything else to add?
No, just like you said, keep watching this space over the course of the off season and going into next year. So like, Dave's put a lot of work in with these fantasy leagues, and we'll put a lot of more content out for the podcasts and stuff and going forward. So yeah, just keep a listen out for all the hottest news and bits and pieces. I know we'll also have news coming up soon about the international series, which of these teams play. Actually, we've got the home teams at the moment, we haven't got the away teams, so it'd be interesting to see some of them, and we'll talk about some of that stuff. And then maybe if we can sort of maybe introduce something, like maybe if we can maybe do something live or close to one of these things, and we've got some of the training ground stuff coming up as well. So there's plenty to look forward to this season, and it might be quite a long off season, and it might feel to some, but your fantasy drafts will be creeping up before you know it, and then we'll be starting and kicking off again in probably early September. So in regards to the league, so yeah, things to keep an eye out for sure.
Lovely. And well, I just want to shout out to you, Ash, because you're putting a hell of a lot of work on this draft this year. I mean, you've done so many players. You've got Miles as well, who did a lot of the he's sort of more of an he's more fantasy
Quarterback,
relevant guy,
yeah,
isn't
he's
he? He's
quarterback guy, yeah.
not really interested in the other positions too much, but
Doesn't like defense. Doesn't just picks the team defenses.
I mean, who plays with defenses these days?
No,
Get
no
rid
one
of it.
plays defense. Yeah.
I mean, like people that play IDP, like fair play to you, but I've got
Yeah.
absolutely no interest, to be honest with you. I'm not going
Yeah.
to pretend that I do, but yeah,
Yeah.
I'm more with Miles in the fancy CBA. He doesn't really do much. And then Ross, I think, was on one of the early episodes and say Ollie will be back soon. But yeah, thanks for all of you. But yeah, Ash, you've been on every single one of these for me, so thanks for doing all of
That's all right. It's
that.
been really enjoyable doing them all day. So yeah, all good.
Yeah, it's been great fun. Right. Well, I will leave it there. Thanks for all of you for listening to our draft coverage, and we will be back in the near future with some hopefully fun stuff coming up. We'll say we'll do a lot of fantasy stuff through this off season because you know who doesn't love fantasy? We all love fantasy. We play an absolute ton of it, so I'm sure we'll do some plenty of that stuff and plenty of other stuff. But so, gone through that. Make sure you listen. We'll see you next time.